Hi, and welcome to the Eat Game Podcast. Tom back with you for our final episode for this season. We've been privileged to speak to some of the best chefs, cooks, restaurateurs in the country, and we've got a brilliant guest to round things off today. So today I speak to Kayap Brin. He runs Games and Flames, a really exciting catering company that provides bespoke and unique wood-fired feasts for any occasion, really. Kai is an experienced hunter, fisherman, and chef, and he's hunted and cooked all over Europe, building this sort of unrivaled knowledge of all things game. So let's find out how it all began, explore his passions, and see what we can learn from this true field-to-fork specialist. Kai, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on this podcast. Quite excited to talk to you this morning.
It's lovely to have you. Thank you very much for being around. And we met briefly, didn't we, at the Eat Game Awards last week. You won Best Media Storm or Influencer. So just a quick word on that. It wasn't really expected, was it?
God, no, absolutely not. So haven't won many awards. So just to be there, you know, with the final three, we had the Wiltshire Game Cook and Tom from Eat the Country. Both have got some fantastic content and some really stiff competition. So to be able to be there actually on the Thames, as you know, the Dixie yeah. Queen, which was a nice little cruise along the Thames as well, was beautiful. And so when my name was called, I just really didn't expect that it was going to be me. But I was overwhelmed, very pleased and honoured to have won the award.
Yeah, no, it was a great night and you well deserved. If anyone listening now wants to listen back to the podcast that we made on the night on board the Dixie Queen in London, you can go back onto the Eat Game podcast channel and you'll find the pod there. So Kai, let's get into it a little bit. Hunter, fisherman, chef, which comes first in your mind?
Well, these days is hunting. My love for field sports is across the board completely. I started off when I was very, very young in North Wales because I am from North Wales, grew up in North Wales and moved down to sunny Sussex when I was 8. But in the time when I was young, me and my brother would ask my dad to take us out trout fishing, and kind of fishing was my first kind of field sports, I would say, and still very passionate about it now. So yeah, I used to go out, catch some trout, and the very first thing I used to do, come home and ask my parents to cook it for me, and then I started cooking for myself. So that's kind of where it all started from, so
that's,
really.
That's the natural progression, I guess, from being out in the field and then and having that natural curiosity at a young age as to, right, now let's eat what we've hunted, and that's how it went from there, was it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've thought about this a lot. People have asked me, and I've done various interviews and things over the last few years, and it comes down to, it's like a primal thing that I can't explain that's in me. You know, the idea of catching something and cooking it and eating it it just feels so natural and pure that it's something that I've always enjoyed doing, and it's just been a massive part of my life ever since.
But if I'm right in saying, very randomly, you worked in the nuclear industry in Wales for a while. So all this hunting and fishing and this lifestyle came after. Was there like a light bulb moment where you were maybe, I don't know, were you sitting in a nuclear power station? I don't know what your day-to-day job was, but when you thought, right, I've got to change up what I do here.
Well, actually, for a long time, I was running it side by side. So I'm going to take you back a little bit. What it was, my dad, when we lived in Wales, worked at a nuclear power station in Trawsfynydd in North Wales. We moved down prematurely when it kind of shut down a little bit early, even though it's still going. Kind of a lot of people got moved in the same company down. So that's why we came to Sussex as a family. So from, you know, from then on, my dad was still working in the industry. And when I was growing up, I loved doing music as well. I played drums. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go down the music route or chefing. I've been working in pubs and restaurants since I was 15. So my passion of food was still there. But career-wise, my dad was a union guy, and he was saying to me, "This is a career." So I went down that route. You know, I went down the nuclear route, and I had 17 good years there. But at the same time, you know, we worked 4 days a week. Yeah, 3 days of the weekend. I started a business very early on, not Game of Flames, which is my current business, called a previous business called Wild Food Catering Company. And we would do like venison and wild boar burgers at events and game fairs and stuff like that. And I was doing that at weekends, probably 15 years ago now. And that went on for like 5 or 6 years. And then I started Game of Flames. So I've been running it side by side for a big part of my career during the Power Station. You know, the Power Station was funding a lot of my weekend activities and kind of like, my hunting pursuits and some of the business. So it's always been there, Tom. So that's what I'm saying. You know, even though I've been working a bit of a contrast of a career. But however, like, you know, just over 2 years ago now, I made that switch. I left Dungeness Power Station to pursue my my business, Game of Flames. And I've been doing that ever since. And I'm absolutely loving it. You know, it's given me the life that I've kind of dreamt of and wanted.
Yeah. Well, give us the sales pitch then for Games and Flames. For those that haven't come across you yet, you know, what is it that you do?
So Game of Flames, pretty much, like I say to people, it says exactly what it says on the tin. I predominantly cook and open fires, and it is mainly game-based. Now, we do weddings, we do corporate events, we do all types of things. You know, we work for Paramount TV, we've done things for INEOS Grenadier cars, shooting industry stuff. Across the board, you know, we're pretty open. The breadwinner of our company is the wedding. So we turn up to people's private gardens or venues or farms or whatever, and we set up this big wood-fired feast. Of course, it's mainly game, but we do farm eats as well from, you know, high welfare farms. So we've got to be pretty much open to kind of what the client wants. But game is at the forefront, I should say.
And the setup, I mean, tell me what we would see at one of the weddings. I'm picturing a lovely, I don't know, garden and a big house in an English countryside somewhere. So what's your setup? You've got the flames going and people can gather around and they're sort of all queuing up and see it all happen in front of their eyes.
Oh, absolutely. So a typical wedding for us would be a nice setting. The guests would arrive. So they'd come in for their canapes and their reception. So fizzy drinks and, you know, the fizzy wine and so on. And then they'll see this big Argentine style setup with raised fire pits, kind of a big metal cage with meat suspended off them on hooks, Argentine crosses with venison on them as well. We can do spatchcock pheasants, or we do chickens and beef and everything else, but of course. But so it is a spectacle. So people come up to us, they talk to us, they take lots of pictures, and we love that. We love the interaction with the public. It means a lot to us because that's why we do it. You know, we don't want to be hidden around a corner.
No. Well, it's visually a spectacle, isn't it? I mean, I bet everybody's phones come out straight away when they all arrive on site.
Absolutely. And that is part of our USP, is not only do we provide, you know, high-end kind of food that's delicious, cooked on the fire, but we also bring the theatre as well. So people can come along, they can see it. And, it's another dimension to their wedding. It's something that their guests we always talk about, because visually it's up there. You know, you can't beat it. So,
and there's a demand for this wood-fired catering out there. There must be. I mean, and you realize that early on.
Yeah, absolutely. So since 2016, since we first started, and bear in mind, Tom, like I was saying, we do weddings, we do corporate events. Another little side thing that we did start off with that I should go back to as well is the fact that we do little workshops. So we teach people how to do deer butchery, skinning, woodland cooking as well. We only do a handful of events a year, and that's on our website, gameofflames.com. It's more of a hobby, really. I just really enjoy teaching people and passing on the skills. So that's where, you know, that's where that first started from. And of course, we cross into the weddings.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got your own facility at your base in East Sussex there, have you? So what have you got on site for these workshops? You can process the game that you harvest yourselves, butchery and larders and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So our season goes on from kind of early spring through to maybe September, October, and then it tapers off, and winter's pretty quiet for us. But for me, being a hunter, and someone passionate about game, I do a lot of deer stalking and deer management throughout the whole of winter. And I have a unit that's got my own larder, my own butchery, my own processing area that we hang the meat, we butcher it, we backpack it, we freeze it down for the summer events. Because of the different seasons of the deer, that the seasons aren't open in the summer. So basically, we freeze it down in the winter, and then we use them all up in the summer for you know, the weddings and corporate events. But yeah, we've got a facility that's got an office, we've got all our fire equipment stored there, catering equipment, and a butchery and a larder as well.
What a great setup. It sounds fantastic. Let me just ask you about the cooking side before I get on to some of the adventures that you've had over the years. What are some of the common misconceptions people have about hunting and eating wild game that you've come across, and some of the things that we can learn from that along the way?
For me personally, I'm very honest about where our food comes from, you know, and that comes across on our website and to people as well. You know, there's a lot of kind of negative press in the media about hunting and kind of field sports and everything else, but it is so important, you know. And for me, like I said earlier on, Tom, you can't get any more pure than harvesting something from the wild sustainably. So, you know, the venison that we used to harvest from the wild, is we don't shoot to eradicate. You know, we have such high deer numbers here in the UK at the moment. We thin down the herds, we take what we need to take, we process it, and then we maintain a healthy deer population. As a byproduct of that, it's a food source and everything gets used. And that to me is how it should be done. So I think the honesty behind, you know, what we do is quite important to me in relaying that. And like I said, you'll see that on a lot of our literature and website and everything else.
Yeah. And I guess you hope that that's what the takeaway is from people that you come across, people you teach in your workshops and clients and guests at weddings and corporate events. Oh, the takeaway is that whole journey that the food's been on, because this is the message, obviously, here at Eat Game, we're promoting this all the time. But this is the huge message, the educating of people. We need them to understand the sustainability, the freshness and the goodness of what we do and the food that we can provide.
Yeah, you're exactly right there, Tom. Yeah, and a part of it is educating. And like I said, when we do weddings, a lot of the guests of the couples that come to the weddings may not have tried venison, pheasant, or, you know, any other type of game. And I find that quite a duty, and it's my job to kind of not just promote it, but it's to make it as tasty as possible so they can go away from that event or wedding and be like, do you know what? That was really nice. That's changed my opinion on game. I'm going to go and look where I can go and buy it. I want to try and cook some at home. And I'm always sharing recipes with people. And the guests that come and talk to us while we're on the fire pits, we have that dialogue between each other. And I tell them where the food comes from, how we do it. Again, honest about it, and say, look, you're not going to get much better than this. You cook it right. And that's quite important, how to cook it, because game, there's certain ways that you would cook game that you wouldn't cook, you know, types of conventional meats, farm meats. And as long as you can handle that meat and cook it properly, it's the best you can get.
A lot of the guests that we've had on this podcast will tell you that venison is their number one big seller. What is it for you? First of all, what's your favorite kind of game meat to cook with and utilize in terms of creativity? And second question, I guess, is it venison? Is that always sort of the big popular number one game meat that clients and guests love?
Yes, absolutely. So venison, for a number of reasons. There's a lot of stuff that you can do in venison which is very similar to beef. There's a few rules here and there, like you can't overcook it, especially like a steak, you know, or a roast. If you overcook venison, it's going to get dry, it's going to get stronger, like gamier taste, maybe a bit livery. Look at that taste of liver. So there's just ways you have to cook it, but it's very, very versatile, you know. My children here, I make batches of venison lasagna, bolognese, chili. So I could do that with a mince. So I'll do like a steak and ale pie. It's like a venison steak and ale pie or a venison bourguignon. A lot of stuff you can do with beef.
It doesn't have to be specialist, does it? It's a real valid point. The everyday meals that you have on your menu, you just substitute it for venison and there you are.
Exactly. And a lot of people that say it's very gamey and very strong. There's a number of reasons for this. Like, A, you might have overcooked it. A lot of people put overpowering kind of ingredients with it. So traditionally, there's a lot of red wine and juniper and all that type of stuff. And it makes it very fragrant and stronger, in my opinion. Like a really nice, well-hung venison, like especially fallow, like we shoot down here. There's six species in the UK, Tom. I'm talking about fallow's our main one, where we shoot here. The deer itself grazes like a farm animal. It's extremely healthy, nice fat in the summer, but also lean in the winter. But you can make the best meals, and they're not that strong. You hang it for a good amount of time, you treat the meat properly, you cook it till medium rare, nice peppercorn sauce or something like that. In fact, that's what I had for dinner last night.
Oh, wow.
with nice venison fillet and peppercorn sauce. and it is unbelievable. So it is how you treat it, how you kind of cook and prepare it. So venison, going back to what you're saying, venison is my number one, and for the business, because the meat yield you get off a deer is quite substantial. So to feed lots of guests at a wedding, it's easier to do that than if you're trying to do the smaller game animal.
Sure, of course, yeah. And you can use a lot of the carcass, can't you, on a venison, yeah. On a deer, yeah.
But on the same, you know, at the same time, you get into the shooting season, pheasants, partridge probably out of the game birds is my favourite. I find it slightly more tender, slightly sweeter than a pheasant, even though it's slightly smaller. Again, you know, partridge or pheasant satay skewers, you know, deep fried breadcrumb, yeah. Pheasant goujons. You can do so much with it. And I haven't even spoke about pigeon yet, which is probably one of the most underrated meats here in the, you know, in the UK.
Well, so, yeah, you're a big advocate of pigeon, aren't you?
Pigeon is fantastic. Again, you overcook it, you pan fry it, overcook it. It's not pleasant. Okay. Yeah. It's tough. And it's, you cook it till it's medium rare, nice and pink in the middle, let it rest. You can slice that up, flash it with some, plum sauce and stick it in a cucumber spring onion wrap, or you can make a nice salad with it. Or another recipe I did for Shooting Times was a nice, instead of liver and bacon, you do pigeon and bacon. So you do your pigeon, nice and pink, bacon, mashed potato, rich red onion gravy, or, you know, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, my dad, growing up pigeon shooting with my dad, which is where that was really the first bird I learned to cook, I guess. He just would go out and get pigeons, he'd breast them and then just wrap them in smoked bacon and get them in the oven, and just heaven, really.
And it is that thing. It's a feeling, I said to me, I can't explain, but to harvest something sustainably and ethically from the wild, and to be able to make a really nice meal with it and share it with your family and friends, is something as human beings we've done for the last, you know, few million years, and it will be with us to the end of time, in my opinion. It's primal. Really, it really is.
Kai, I want to move on now to your sort of action man adventures that we see a lot of. A lot of your films are on YouTube. You do a lot with the Field Sports channel and things like that. So talk us through some of the adventures that you do. I mean, you do a lot of deer stalking. What else do you love doing out in the wild?
I just like being outdoors. I love adventures. I love spear fishing in Cornwall. We've been moose hunting in Finland, wild boar and roebuck shooting in Hungary and Croatia. I've been to a lot of places, and it all ends up not just the shooting, but the eating is just as important to me. So I always get excited if I'm going somewhere new, the different scenery, different terrains, the company that's with you as well, that also makes the trip exciting. And then if you have a successful day hunting or fishing, it's even better when you sit around the table with everyone and you're sharing the food and talking about, sharing the stories from the day, you know, are special.
Have you had any close shaves, any memorable adventures that you could tell us about?
Yeah, well, one that comes to mind, and this was on Field Sports channel. I was out doing a video in Norway, actually, my friend Trigger, a really good friend of mine. We've done a lot of stuff together. We went out on the boat in the sea. We were actually looking at, we did a bit of fishing and looking at some grey seals. And as I was coming back on the boat, my friend Trigger was manning the boat, and I came down, and as I grabbed the front of the boat, I slipped on the rocks, and then he got dragged under right in the middle of the North Sea. And we were a good 10 miles out on these little rock islands, and I had to just drag myself on with my rifle and everything else. And that was a very, very close moment, because I almost had to let go.
Yeah.
There's that, and then I've got loads, and there's another one where I was in Norway with Trigger again, and he made me reindeer testicles on the, on the camera, and that's one, you know, Field Sports Channel's most viewed videos.
Is it?
You know, of that trip, yeah, something like 4.5 million views, I think. A lot of people have seen me eat reindeer testicles.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you and Trigger need your own, I don't know, ITV adventure show, doesn't it? You
do. Right. Something YouTube like that, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, listen, keep up all the good work. We really enjoy everything you do. And just jump on YouTube, everybody listening. Kai at Bryn, give that a search and you'll see his adventures. Now, just to finish off, Kai, like we do with each of our guest interviews, we've got some quick fire questions for you, designed to get straight to the truths of your likes and dislikes. Yes, this is where your true colours are shown. So I've got 10 for you. Are you ready for them?
Right, I'm bracing myself. Go for it.
Let's do it. First up, most underrated game meat. Well, we've covered that a little bit, haven't we?
Yeah, wood pigeon, definitely.
Top choice of knife when you're in the kitchen.
Victorinox is pretty good. I use them. Flint and Flame are quite good as well. I've actually got a handmade set I actually got from Etsy, from a Russian company.
Wow.
Which I've had for the last 5 years, and actually they're pretty good. So they're Damascus steel and very beautiful.
Your go-to comfort food?
So my go-to comfort food is pretty much beans on toast with grated cheese. I think, you know, that is a nation staple. Yeah. There, and I'm not afraid to admit it, that it's when you're just feeling under the weather or just a bit run down, I think a beans on toast, lots of salt and pepper, you can't beat it.
Yeah, I love how simple that is. That's wonderful. Your favourite food city in the world?
There's a few, but I would say one of the places I've been to is Austin. In Texas, because I think the diversity in the street food, I mean, this is going back about 8 years now, but the diversity in the street food at the time that was there was just incredible.
Excellent. Okay, wine, beer, or cocktails? all three.
all three. And it depends on the occasion. Beer has to be ale. Here in Sussex, where you are, Harvey's is one of my favorites.
Oh, I love a Harvey's, yeah.
Yeah, and especially in the winter, they do it like the Harvey's Old, which is the nice Christmas edition, winter edition, which is delicious.
The worst flavour in the world?
Oh, a lot of people are going to kind of turn their nose at me this, but I cannot get on with mustard, English mustard. I've tried horseradish as well. It must be something in it that my body doesn't agree with, because wasabi, horseradish and English mustard, I can't get on with.
That's interesting. As a chef, that must be a nightmare for you.
It is, yeah. I mean, I do add it in my cooking, yeah. But if it's too strong, I add it in a raw form or in a sandwich, it's overpowering for me. So,
I think for question 7 here, we know the answer to this, but the most unusual thing that you've eaten?
Oh, God. Apart from reindeer testicles, yeah, that we spoke to earlier on, I've eaten python, I've eaten crickets. There's probably some other things I can't even think of. I've done frog's legs, which are delicious, actually. I'm not shy when it comes to trying things at all.
Okay, yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? Wow. Okay, one ingredient that you can't live without?
I would probably say butter.
Yeah, a lot of our guests have said that, actually. Do you have a good restaurant recommendation for us?
One of my favourite pubs in our area, Tom, as you live quite close to me, actually.
Yeah.
I'll be completely honest. I do find, especially where I am in East Sussex, there's a lot of okay pubs, but there's nothing that I would say that's spectacular. But a really nice pub and a Sunday lunch for me, because I do love a Sunday lunch, probably one of my favourite meals, is the Eight Bells in Jevington, which is absolutely fantastic.
Okay. I haven't been, but I'm not that far off, so that's being noted down. Good to know. And your final one, your final quickfire here. Your last meal on Earth, Kai, what is it going to be?
Last meal on Earth is going to be, I would say, a venison rump steak. The rumps are my favourite part of the deer. You know, the texture, I think, is almost beef-like. It's fantastic, and the flavour, second to none. So a venison steak, chips, and... And for dessert, I'll probably go for something like a massive creme brulee. Whenever you get creme brulee, there's never enough. So you always, I'd want like a bucket full of creme brulee. I think.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, that's wonderful. Kayat Brin, everybody, go and check him out online. Games and Flames is the website. Where can we find you? What's on your socials, Kai?
We're quite busy on Instagram. It says Game and Flames on Instagram, and website's gameandflames.com. We are on Facebook as well. And on YouTube through Field Sports Channel TV.
Kai, thank you so much for being our final guest in the series. It's been a joy having you on, and wonderful to meet you. And congratulations again on your Eat Game Award from last week. All the best.
No problem. Thank you, Tom.
So that is it then for the current series of the Eat Game podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Please do rate, review and share the podcast if you can with like-minded friends. It all helps spread the word, and we'll be back soon.